There's no reason why that couldn't be your story.
You don't have an expiration date.
Oh, I love that. This is the Authors and Agents Podcast. Liz, I'm super excited to have you here with me today to hear all about you and Mighty Millie Novak, which comes out in August. So can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah. So Mighty Millie Novak is a young adult novel about a girl on a junior roller derby team. I describe it as my queer roller derby novel, which is usually enough to get people interested. And
yes,
it's about a girl with a lot of social anxiety, but also a lot of desire to make friends and be a part of things. And sort of, she wants to sort of change her life. She's not happy at home. She's lonely. She's anxious. And so she's on this roller derby team trying to win the attention of her crush, who's a real impressive all-star skater, trying to get her teammates to like her and be a better skater, and kind of getting tangled up in her own lies and complicating her own life.
Just those classic things that all teenagers struggle with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I love it. I love the cover, which I feel like you've been posting. Did it like just get revealed?
Yeah, it did.
Okay,
yeah,
that's why.
Last week. So
I love it. It is so amazing. So everyone go look up the cover if you haven't already seen it. Well, this is super exciting, you know, having your book come out into the world. So tell me a little bit about your journey to this point.
Yeah, so I've always written. I mean, I don't know how far we need to go back, but I've always written stories since, you know, before I could actually physically write. I would dictate them to my mom. I wrote and queried agents for two other novels before I got my first literary agent. One I wrote, oh gosh, I don't know, 18 years ago. Wow. Is that right? I think that's right. And that one I just sent out to maybe 10 agents. Nothing ever really happened. And then took some time off from trying to write another novel, wrote short stories, wrote, started novels and then never finished them over and over. Mm-hmm. And then in about 2018, I wrote a middle grade mystery and queried that to death. Just queried, I don't know, anyone with literary agent near their name. I got requests for fulls and got some good feedback, but no offers. And then I did a bunch of editing and it kind of changed a ton about that book, and I queried it more and still was like getting good feedback, but not quite. And then it was May 2020. I was really lonely and in my house, you know, it's 2020. I missed roller derby, our league. We had a bout scheduled for March 14th. And at, you know, the start of that week, we were like, oh, yeah, we might need to cancel the bout. No, probably not. And then by Thursday, it was like no practice. Everything's shutting down. And we didn't practice again for another year and a half. And and so in like summer of 2020, I missed the physicality of roller derby and I missed the camaraderie of roller derby. And I had kind of had some ideas in my head about writing a young adult novel about somebody playing junior derby. And I just started writing it. I kind of could see the character getting sharper and clearer in my head, but I'm not a plotter in advance sort of person. I don't outline. And so I just started writing it in the summer of 2020. And it's sort of, I mean, in a way, like my love letter to the sport and how important it is to me. And that kind of came through the book. And I had my first draft done, I want to say by early September of 2020. Mm-hmm. I wrote it real fast. I mean, that, for me, that's fast. And I got an agent pretty quickly. Turned out we weren't a great fit for each other. And I left my agent. I chose to leave in the summer of 21. And then I got my current agent in like early spring of 22 and did some edits. And then Millie was on sub with editors for about a year, almost a year before we got the offer in May of 23. And that kind of took us to now. So,
that's so exciting. You know, there is definitely a trend with people whose books are coming out this year or the end of last year, right? Like, I feel like everybody was like, in 2020, I wrote this book because I was stuck in my house, right? Which, if there can be good things that come out of bad things, all these books are definitely the proof of that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you took what seems like such a like a major part of your life and your love for roller derby and really wove it into this book, which I'm sure is part of why it was the one to move you forward in the publishing industry.
Yeah, I think like I don't regret the other books that I've written, and I think I needed to write those to figure things out with myself as a writer and, you know, figure out how to do things and become a better writer. And so I was kind of ready when I kind of saw the vision for this book. So yeah.
Yes. I think everybody remember all your books are worthwhile. You learn something from all of them.
Yes.
Even if they don't make it to the bookstore, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I would love to have you give me like maybe your top querying tip for querying authors. Like looking back on your journey and your experience, you know, what would you say to querying authors right now?
Well, honestly, one of the things I sort of already mentioned that I just, I wrote this middle grade novel that was a mystery. It was good. It was close. You know, it was like I was getting interest and I queried it so much. And I was so positive. This is the book. This is going to be the novel that an agent takes me on for, the book that sells. It has to be, you know, it felt like I'd spent such a long time. Ultimately, it wasn't that long. It was 2 years. I don't know, but it felt like this long time, you know, and I was like, I've done so many edits and I've spent so much time working on it. This is the book and I love it so much. And, you know, I still like that book and I have affection for it, but I think that it wouldn't, I mean, you know, I don't have any regrets, but I also think, I don't think people should give up on writing and querying, but I also don't think they should be convinced that it has to be one particular book. If you're a writer, you're going to write more. You're not going to just write one book, and whether it's published or not, you're going to want to write more. So keep writing more. Write while you're querying. It'll give you somewhere else to put your energy. And then when you get an agent and you go on submission, write then as well. And so I think like it wouldn't have been a bad thing if I had been a little bit less attached to getting an agent for one specific book and more just, I just need to write. And then anytime I have a completed book, cool, I can query that. I think that's the main thing.
I think so too. I think that's great advice. And I know it doesn't work for everybody. I've heard from some authors, they're like, I just like couldn't write anything new while I was querying. But I feel like for me personally, that was like such a crucial piece to like surviving querying.
Yeah.
And yes, I think through that process, you then learn to let go when you need to shelve a book, right? Instead of spending and expending so much energy on a book that, you know, is not working out if that's the case.
Yeah. And it like, I feel like the act of querying and the act of writing are really not the same sort of part of your brain, the same sort of tasks. It's not the same sort of energy. And it's good to not have all of your energy in the querying, selling, trying to get attention sort of way. Have something else to shift to that's just purely creative.
Yes. Yeah. It was, that's definitely good advice because querying is hard on all of us.
Oh God, yeah, it's so hard. It's so hard. Yeah, I mean, I think with my current agent, I got 2 other offers, and then I still, you know, we put out a, you know, I sent out my like 2 weeks notice. You know, if anybody else wants to make an offer, email to the agents that had my manuscript, and even when they'd come back and be like, oh no, I'm going to step aside. And I knew I had other offers. I'd still feel like, you know, like you can't help it. Like, you know,
no,
rejection is not fun, but if you're not okay with rejection, how do you do anything? So.
Yeah. Especially in this industry.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to get used to it a little bit. Right.
Yeah. I would be like, okay, I'm going to be sad. And then tomorrow I'm going to do something new. You know,
exactly.
And I feel like there's always something you can be doing. And so I'm very much a fan of like, all right, I'm going to take some next step, whatever that is, whether it's with writing, whether it's with querying, whether it's working on my query letter or looking up other agents or, you know, a million things. So,
yeah, there's definitely good actionable things to be able to do to maybe lessen the sting of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So going back to Millie, what are some things like you hope readers take away from this story as they read it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think first of all, this is a fun novel. It's, you know, it's got a secret pool party. It's got like convoluted plans to get a crush's attention. It's got somebody wearing roller skates falling down a hill, you know, like this is a fun book. And so I hope, first of all, that people just have fun reading it, you know? I also hope, you know, if you were to gain something from it, I think the main idea being have the courage to be yourself and not feel like you need to apologize for it, and to be honest with the people who are important with you, like to trust the people you care about with your full self. Also, I want people to join roller derby leagues, obviously.
This like, is your love, you know, leather to the sport.
Yeah, as we say, the first rule of roller derby is you don't stop talking about roller derby. So I'm always, you know, promoting it. So
there you go. I love it. So, when you like to sit down and just read for your own personal pleasure, who are some of your favorite authors to read?
I read a lot of thrillers, which is not what Mighty Millie Novak is at all.
That's
okay. I love Tana French. I should be ready with this, right? This is one of those questions that you always get asked, and I'm never ready.
It's all right.
I just finished the second novel by Benjamin Stevenson. He wrote Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone, and Everyone on This Train is a Suspect. And I really like thrillers. That's what I read the most of. I think my favorite novel is The Historian by Elizabeth Kostova, because it's got train travel in Europe and adventure and romance and lots of like really great locations and vampires. And so I'm just
the best,
a big fan. Yeah. So I do read YA. I just finished reading Camilla Cole's Still Let Them Burn, which is YA fantasy. It's like got dragons and two sisters, and it's fantastic. So I do read, you know, YA to a degree, but I find myself just settling on like thrillers. Anytime I see a thriller, I'm like, ooh, what's happening here, you know? So
I love it. And sometimes it's good too to read different than what you write, to give you a little perspective on it, maybe not get so lost in the weeds. Sometimes I feel that way if I'm reading something too close to what I'm writing. I'm worried somehow it'll absorb itself a little too much.
And I actually have a thriller on sub right now. My agent is pitching to editors. So I kind of am like, if I'm writing a thriller, then I can read YA or I can read rom-coms or something like that. And then if I'm writing YA, then I can read thrillers, and it sort of works out. Laura Ling Brown's Society of Lies. That's the one I just read that I really liked. That's a thriller that's so good. And she's another 2024 debut author. So
I love it. Isn't that the best too? When that's my favorite part about this job, about everything I do, is I get to read books before they come out, and I get to just like shout about them and be like one of the few who knows before they come out.
I know. I feel very cool. Yeah.
Yes. Very cool. My friend will be like, what book are you reading? I'm like, oh, it's not out yet, but let me tell you about it.
You're like, oh, it's great. You should read it in 6 months when you can get it.
You should just pre-order it.
But
it is really good. So when you're in the like thick of writing, what is your favorite thing about writing, the actual act of it? And then what's the most challenging thing for you?
I think the most challenging thing is just getting started. Some days are harder than others, but it can be tough. I mean, most writers are not full-time writers. And if you're not a full-time writer, you're juggling something else with your writing. Even if you are a full-time writer, I'm sure you have other things in your life. But especially if you're working a different job full-time, which I am, it is always a choice you have to make to ignore something else and sit down and write. And it can be really tough to make that choice when you know. Especially I teach college physics, but then I also own a travel company with my husband. And with the travel company, I know I don't really rest at all.
Doesn't sound like it.
And so with the travel company, because that is, I mean, it's essentially it's sales. There's always this sense of there's always more you can do. You know, it's our business. So there's always more I can be doing to promote it or to connect with previous clients or whatever. And so when I am sitting down to write, I'm like, my brain is aware and will try to push me into, no, you need to do travel agent stuff. And, you know, if I have a client traveling who has an issue with their hotel, sure, that's true. But 9 times out of 10, no, I can sit and write. And so it can be really tough sometimes. I think that was even more true before I had an agent, when it's, you know, when you're querying and you're like, I don't know if these words will ever see the light of day to anyone, you know, and it'd be tough to make that choice and sit down. But then once I do, it doesn't happen every day, but most days when I write, once I get, you know, half a page or a page in, that sense of flow and just like kind of seeing the plot open up in front of me. I was thinking about it recently. There's no other analogous feeling that I have anywhere else in my life and any of my experiences, of that feeling of I've just wrote for an hour or two, and the way my brain feels, where it's like exhausted, but in this good way. It's like the mental version of how you feel physically after you've been swimming all day or something like that. And you feel like wiped out, but really good. Like that's how my, and it's a completely different sort of mental exhaustion than, you know, then I've been sending a bunch of emails, I've been grading papers, anything else. Like there's nothing else that gives that feeling of like satisfaction and having used my brain in this way that is so, you know, you're creating something. So that feeling, like, which I feel like I have to always get past myself a little bit and like maybe feel clunky for a paragraph or two, and then I can forget myself and get into the story, and that feeling is the best.
That is the best feeling, when you get into the flow. I think too, for me, I love the feeling when you've started a new story and you get into the flow of like 20,000 words, whatever it is for you, you know, where you're like, oh yes, this is really coming together. Yeah. It's starting to feel like a real thing. That's always my favorite feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So like sometimes like seeing things like, oh, I get this now. Sometimes I'll write something and not even know why. And then I'll be like, oh my God, but I wrote this and that's going to work perfect here. And now I see it. And you're like seeing the pattern kind of come together as you're writing. And I love that.
Yeah, that is a great feeling. So my next question is about genre hopping, which it sounds like you're already doing, which is very exciting. So you've got a thriller on sub. If you could write any other kind of genre, try something new, what would you want to write?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this and I'm not sure, because I feel like I'm really sort of scratching the two itches of like my two favorite things to read. I do think that it might be cool to write some outright horror. I think that would be neat, whether it's YA horror or probably YA. I don't know why, but YA horror sort of sounds appealing to me. Just to write something really scary. Like, I like spooky stuff. I like getting scared. Mm-hmm. I used to watch a lot more horror movies than I do now. I don't know. I think I've gotten more afraid of things as I get older, but like, you know, sometimes I'll think of something really genuinely creepy and I'll be like, oh, I would love to write a book about like, what if this happened? And I think writing horror would be really cool.
I've read some great adult horror, but I will agree. I feel like my favorite horror novels are YA. I don't know what it is about them. It's like the combination of all the teen angst or whatever that is in the world. Like, I love the YA horror. I feel like I read so much more of it now than I do watch it. Like, ever since I became a parent, it's so hard for me to watch horror movies. I don't know why.
I get it. Yeah. I don't know. It all seems like, oh no, it's too upsetting. I can't look or I can't watch it. I don't know. I know this isn't horror even, but I was watching Game of Thrones and I just ran up the stairs at some point and was like, I'm out. I'm not watching this, you know? So like, but I do think reading it is a little easier, and I mean, writing it, well, then I can decide what happens. I can make sure that if there's a dog, it's always safe or whatever.
Yes. So. Please do not kill the dog. For me, it's like kids stuff. Like there was like that latest Exorcist movie with the two little girls
who like for that. Yeah.
Well, there were so many horrible previews. They would come on and my 4-year-old's in the room. I'm like, close your eyes. Oh, like, gosh. Don't look, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I was like, I couldn't even look. I was closing my eyes too. But my husband watched it one night, and just hearing it from the other room, I was like, I'm glad I didn't subject myself.
It's really scary. I mean, like, the original is like the scariest thing I've ever seen, I think. So yeah.
My parents let me watch like The Poltergeist as a young child. And I'm not sure what their strategy was there, but I think it might have backfired, or maybe it did exactly what it was supposed to do. Cause I just like, I remember having nightmares and like couldn't go near my closet. Sometimes still I'm like, if there's a light on in my closet, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
please no.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Yeah.
Well, I've just got a few questions left for you. So throughout your, you know, your writing journey, who have been your biggest supporters?
I've been lucky to have a lot of support. I have really wonderful people in my life who've been super supportive. But I have to say, I think number one is my mother. She's fantastic. She's always my first reader. It's very much like, I don't know if you or your listeners have watched Seinfeld, but I always tease her that it's like when an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry's mom is like, how could anybody not like Jerry? You know, and I just, I feel like that's how my mom is with me. And I kid her about that because I feel safe giving her my writing because she just always loves it.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's so important to know that I have somebody to share things with. And so often when I'm working on a book, I'll just be emailing her chapters and her encouragement and her being like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next. Or I can't believe you did this, you know, what's going on? I can't stop thinking about it. Like all that motivates me to keep going. And I need that external motivation sometimes more than just in, I don't always have the best internal motivation, but I at least know how to arrange my life and trick myself into getting it, you know, from external motivation. And so she's, I mean, you know, always been so supportive and so enthusiastic about my writing.
I think that is so important. You know, I love that. I'm sure your mom too gives you, is able to be honest if there's something that's like bugging her. But I think it's so important to just have like a cheerleader, right? Who's like,
yeah,
yes, this is so good.
And like, and I think she has been honest. And like, for example, my book that's on sub is about an artist and she's an artist. And so I'd be like, tell me if I say something that makes no sense. And yeah, and there were a few times where she'd be like, a professor would never do this unless you want it to be weird. Did you want it to be weird? I'd be like, no. So, you know, but like, I think mostly it's just, she's not there. She's not going to read it with like a critical eye thinking, can I sell this or something? Or, you know, will people buy this? She's just getting into the story and appreciating it. And that's what I personally really, really need at that stage when I'm writing.
I think it's nice to have like your biggest supporter and like all the different circles of your life, you know, like somebody who doesn't know anything about publishing, who's like your mom, who's just going to give you like feedback, like, oh, did they enjoy this, right? Because at the root, readers are just going to pick it up and did they enjoy it or not? Like, unless they're a bookstagrammer or whatever, they're not going to like be thinking like too critically or critiquing it as much, you know? Yeah. It's always great to have some, you know, as you get into publishing, find your friends who are authors or, you know, who understand all of that. But I think it's so important to have somebody who like knows nothing about the industry, but just is going to give you great feedback on if your story like hits them.
Yeah, absolutely. So awesome. I think she's been the most important. Although, like I said, I'm lucky enough to have a lot of people in my life, fellow authors, and then just, you know, friends and family who've been great. So,
well, go mom. We love it so much. So what are your favorite like writing fuel, like snacks or drinks when you're either in the act of writing or if you don't like crumbs, you know, when you're taking like a little break, what do you always have to have nearby?
You know, it's interesting. I was listening to an episode of your podcast recently, and I can't think of the name of the author. I had it earlier today, but you asked her this question and then she said the exact thing that I'm like, that's what I would say, which is that I drink tea constantly. And it has to be black tea almost exclusively. I guess I drink a little bit of oolong or green tea sometimes, but I'd say like 95% of the time it's incredibly caffeinated black tea. Caffeine is almost like a exoskeleton sometimes. Like I'm like, that's how I function. You know, I mentioned I don't really rest, so the caffeine is good. And so I think I pretty much always have tea or sparkling water. And then I don't, I don't usually eat when I'm writing because I don't want my keyboard to get sticky. But then I think it oftentimes like, taking a break or whatever, I eat a lot of sweets. I like cookies and pie and cake and things like that. So I think nice to feel like, oh, I'm in a, you know, fancy cafe somewhere and I'm just in my house, but you know, it's nice.
But also you have like three different gigs going on that you've got to put a lot of time and energy to. You need the fuel. You need the sugar. You need to be awake.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. yeah, like I said, it's like, you know, the caffeine is the like structure holding me up so I don't just sort of collapse into a goo. Yeah.
I'm with you there. My husband always, he has tried several times to get us to quit caffeine, and we've done it for little periods of time, right? But then I'm like, I need caffeine to function.
That's tough.
Like, I have too much to do. I have too much to do.
Yeah.
The people who can survive without caffeine are stronger than me. That's just
I mean, or just biologically different, you know, or their schedules are different, you know, or they have, you know, fewer things that require that. I don't know. Because I know that I have friends who are like, oh, I can't drink caffeine past noon or I'll be up all night. And I feel like, oh no, I can just keep going.
I could drink caffeine up until the moment I get into bed. And it, like, I think it's like, does it really help me? Or do I just psychologically think it helps me because I could drink it all day long?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I remember once, like, I was traveling and my husband and I hadn't had like anything, like we hadn't had any tea or any caffeine for like 24 hours. And the next morning we were at a hotel and we had like the crummiest cup of Lipton tea, and it was so good. And it would, you know, just because it had been a day, and we were like, oh, it's so delicious. And we normally hate Lipton, like we would never drink it, but yeah.
But you know, when in dire circumstances,
yeah,
Lipton will do.
Yeah.
Well, I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
It's not a hard question. I'd love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time or the best book ever. Just something you've read recently that you'd love to share with people.
Oh, God. I'm trying to... Okay. I read constantly, and I just reread Bridget Jones's Diary because I was like, I need a book in between while I was waiting for a library loan and a NetGalley request to come through. And so I'm like, that's the book I've most recently read, but I wouldn't choose it. I mean, yeah, I like Bridget Jones. No, I wouldn't choose it. Can I have just a second to think about that? Just a second. Because this is one of those things where I was like earlier, like, oh yeah, of course. And now I'm doubting myself. You know what? I just read the newest Carol Goodman book, The Bones of the Story. And that was really fun and enjoyable. I like Carol Goodman, again, thrillers, you know, suspense novel. And that's got professors at a college and they're writers. And I teach at a college. And so it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed reading that. And then I also read that Society of Lies by Laura Ling Brown and really enjoyed that too. So one suspense novel from someone who's been putting them out since the 90s, and then one debut suspense novel.
I love it. Thank you for sharing those. I mean, I know we all already have like lists of books to read that are hundreds of books long, but there's always more to learn about.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, for letting me pick your brain and my listeners to get to know you, but also hear a little bit more about your book coming out in August 20th, right?
August 20th. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And if I can say it, like if people want to know more about Mighty Millie Novak or more about me or reach out, my website is elizabeth-holden.com.
Well, perfect. Everybody follow her, pre-order it. Let's all shout about it. And thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.